from Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, we're back in the studio today. That's pretty exciting. We've been broadcasting remotely. And so now is my first day back in the studio in maybe 10 weeks or so. So this is great. I love coming to the studio. You know, I could do it remotely. I just like to be in the studio. You have a producer. You have everything that could go wrong can be fixed pretty quickly. You got contact with the producer about things that might be going on that you would never know about. But it's just, I have more energy in the studio. I just like being in the radio studio. And I have after broadcasting Ask an Attorney for 36 years now. Very rarely did I not ever come to the studio, so I'm glad to be here today. All right, if you have a legal question of any type, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. We have Phil in Orange Park. Hey, Phil.
Good morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thank you for being there. I have a question on... Okay, a friend of mine is dying and is in a coma. He does not have a will. The concern is he has a piece of property. It's in Florida, Central Florida, and he's one of four or five that own it. They inherited it. However, who would I'm just curious, who would and I tried to get him to call your office and do things, but he just didn't want to, and unfortunately he went down real quick with his cancer. But the bottom line question is, how would that go to probate, and who would, I mean, I know that, I guess the family's going to contest it, but who would get his share?
Well, okay, so if it's owned by four or five people, it really depends on how the words are on the title. It could be five people with right of survivorship, or it could be five people, tenants in common.
I didn't know what it says on that. I have to look
into
that.
Yeah, so that's the key. If it's right of survivorship, just the other four own it. If it's tenants in common, his one-fifth would have to go through probate.
Right.
If he has a will, it would be governed by that will. If he doesn't have a will or a trust, it will be governed by statutes.
He lived for Florida forever, and then he moved to another state, about three states away, and that's where he is dying in the hospital there. In ICU, but
he's a resident. He's a resident of another state, but the land is land is located in Florida, there'd be a Florida probate.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'll look into that fine print. Thanks much, and keep up the great work, and stay dry. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. All right. Orange Park is close to Jacksonville there, so we have offices there in Jacksonville, and we have about 20 office locations around Florida. And we are here to help as many people as we possibly can. Every week on the radio, we help people. If we can help you in any other way, we'll give out the phone numbers to the office here during the course of the show. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. It's a live show where you can call in and ask legal questions. Your legal question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills, probate, avoiding probate, trust, guardianship. Can be just about any area of law. If you have a legal question, hey, we'd love to help you. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. And again, we're here to help as many people as we possibly can. All you have to do is to dial that number. Your question does help a lot of other people. You know, you think about it. You have a question. You're concerned about something. You don't know the answer. A lot of people listening have the same circumstance. They simply are benefited from you asking a question. And that's been the whole purpose of the show, just to help as many people as you possibly can. Let's go to Roland in Jacksonville. Hey, Roland.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
How are you, sir?
Just great. Hey, my question involves a contract kind of thing. Make a long story short, a neighbor of mine had his boat listed with a Florida or Nationwide yacht broker type thing, and they controlled the advertising and all this stuff. So after a year, he didn't get any really good bites on the boat, and I liked the boat, and he sold the boat broker, and he was going to sell it to me. And they should fine as long as he, somebody, a neighbor. So we ended up buying, we were going to buy the boat, another deal fell through, and told me, yes, you can have the boat. I already contacted the broker. So me, I went home and showed my wife the boat that was listed on the broker's page, and just to show the pictures of it, well, they came back and said that, okay, congratulations on your sale, but if anybody's name is on this list you're selling this boat to, you owe us a broker fee, and we do title searches after the time you say the boat sold, skip that boat sold to that person, and if it is, you owe us money. I was looking at them and accusing them.
Was your name on the list? Yes,
my name was on the list. So anybody who accessed their site to look at their product, they can see the secured buyer.
Well, I'd have to see the listing agreement that he signed. Was that language in the listing agreement? All right, somehow or another we lost Roland. Roland, please feel free to call back if you need to. But it really depends on the language in the listing agreement. If the listing agreement references that site and references that the seller would be liable to pay the broker after a certain amount of time after the listing agreement expired, and they have proof you were on that site, and that's how you found out about a boat, then it's possible that would be a valid. All right, let's go to Sandra in Tampa. Hey, Sandra. Sandra,
hello.
Are you there? Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Sandra, go ahead. You have a question?
Hello?
All right, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll come back to you. Something's wrong with the audio there on your phone, probably. Let's go to Patricia in Lakewood Ranch.
Hi.
Hey, Patricia.
Hi. I have a question on a condo. I sent a registered letter to our management company with some questions to be answered, and it's been about 4 months. They have never answered it. Don't they have a responsibility to answer a certified letter?
Well, yes, but I would send it. Have you called them to ask them why they didn't respond to your certified letter? I mean, have you taken any steps in just the certified letter?
No, it was kind of my understanding. If you sent a certified letter, they were obligated to answer that specific letter within 30 days. But maybe I've been misled on that.
No, I don't know of any 30-day rule on answering the certified letter. Sometimes you just have to be a squeaky wheel, you know.
Yeah.
Call them and ask them if they received the letter. You have proof. If they don't, if they say no, then you say, "Well, I have proof."
It was one that they had to sign for
it.
So yes, I have the proof that they did receive it.
Call them and be a squeaky wheel. Tell them you've got proof that they received the letter. You don't want to know why. Can you talk to somebody about why they haven't answered you?
Okay.
And then if all comes to the conclusion you've done everything you can do and you don't have a good result, then the answer would be to have an attorney write certified letter, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, one other question. In our last annual meeting, we did not have, nobody, one of the board members resigned. Nobody else wanted to run for it. So we are operating on a four-person board. Is this legal, or does it have to be an odd number?
No, it doesn't have to be an odd number. It's always better to break a tie if there's an odd number, but it doesn't.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to back to Sandra in Tampa and see if we can talk to her.
Hello.
Yes, Sandra.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
If you're married to he's Polish. We got married in Tampa about 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
and he was I think he doesn't want to be married anymore. I don't hear from him anymore. Now I have a house in the farm. I had it long before I met him, and I would want to know if he wants my house.
All right, Sandy, you're breaking up pretty badly on the phone here. So you're married. You had a house before you got married. Your husband doesn't want to be married. So has he left the house?
Yeah, he left the house. He came to America, and he went to Boston to live. He doesn't do anything for me. He doesn't. Mm. Well, he doesn't care, I think. I don't hear from him.
All right. Well, you probably need to talk to a family law attorney. We have one in our firm if you want to talk to one.
Okay.
Basically, if he has abandoned you and left the property, how long were you married?
14 years.
That's a pretty long time. If I were a family law attorney, I would probably spend more time trying to restore marriages than file divorces, but I do have a family law attorney, so it'd be better for you to talk to them and how to proceed. If you filed papers and he didn't object, and there was no division, are there any other assets to be divided up? And there were no children of the marriage, right?
No children, and the house is mine. He met me with the house, and he never did anything to the house. But he wanted a part of the house.
No, oh, yeah.
And I don't think I should give him a part of the house. No way. He never did anything.
All right. Well, I would talk to a family law attorney about how to proceed.
Okay.
And just go from there. If you would like to call our family law attorney, her name is Catherine.
Uh huh.
Her number is 727-586-3306.
Okay.
All right. The extension, I got an extension 200.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Jeanette in Sarasota.
Hello.
Hey, Jeanette.
Hi. My question is, I'm about to write a will. My main bequest would probably be my apartment in New York City. The question is, what is better to do, to leave it in a will or in a trust?
Well, anything in a living trust avoids probate. So if you left
That's
it,
what I was trying to
yeah,
do.
If you left it in a will, then if the property's in New York, you might have two probates. You might have a probate in Florida and a probate in New York.
Right. Right.
So it's usually better to do it in a trust. You can put one property, you can put both properties in the one trust and avoid probate in two different places.
Right, but you would certainly recommend a trust rather than a will. How do people differentiate what to put in what?
What do you put?
Is it all a question of probate?
Well, a will and a trust do the same thing. They appoint somebody to be in charge of the estate, and then they have a plan of distribution in the document. If you die with a will, you die with assets just in your name, so assets just in a deceased person's name goes through probate. If you die with them in a trust, then they're in a living trust, not in the deceased person's name, and it avoids probate. So one of the big decisions in whether to do a will or a trust is whether or not you want to take some active steps to avoid the probate process.
Yes, well, that's what I would like to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so a living trust would be the best route, huh?
Well, if you want to avoid probate, that's certainly one of the options that most of my clients choose. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I really appreciate that.
All right, Jeanette.
It's wandering. Bye-bye,
dear. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, by the way, we're broadcasting live today on Facebook Live. And if you want to find me, we're just broadcasting live. It's Attorney Joseph Pippin We have an Ask an Attorney page. We have a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. And we're broadcasting live. And we're more than glad to have you join us. If you'd like to join us on Facebook, on one of our pages there, or LinkedIn, or any other social media contacts, I'm sure you can find me. If you can't find me, send me an email, and I'll make sure we get connected. My email address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Hey, if you'd like to call the show, we have open lines now. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Jane in Bradenton. Hey, Jane.
Hi, Joe. I have a dock with a lift, and I was approached by a couple that live close by to rent it in the fall. And I would like to know the pros and cons and if there's any pitfalls. And, you know, I'm debating on whether to do it or not.
Well, you have a dock. You said a
dock. Yeah, yeah, they have a boat that they want to use. Yeah.
Well, I would just have the attorney draw the lease up and hold them basically responsible for anything that happens to the boat. They can release you from liability on some a lot of different issues that might come up. So I think having an attorney draw the lease for you on the rental is fine. If you have an empty dock, you might as well make some money, I'm thinking. So just have a good legal document to protect you.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering if, you know, if, say, I want to move or something, it could be a problem, right? Other than them tramping on my property whenever they want to use the boat, you know, and I really don't need the money, so I'm kind of wondering, you know, I'm having second thoughts now.
Yeah, well, if you don't need the money and don't want them tramping on your property, then don't do it. It just could, it could be a headache.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm coming to now, the more I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know, the legality of everything nowadays. Everybody's suing everybody. So, thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you. You take care.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, the law office is open. Early on a rainy Saturday morning here in Tampa, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Ron in Clearwater.
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. I'm a teacher in Florida. I took the scenic route. They have the alternative certification. And in Pinellas, specifically, they have a program they call TTT, Transition to Teaching. So most teachers get certified for the state criteria, with the state criteria. Pinellas County invented a new track. They called it district certification. And unbeknownst to me, this was for home ec teachers, shop teachers. Well, to get a temporary certificate, once you have it, you usually have 3 years. You get 36 months to get all your ducks in a row to get the state certification. For two of those years, Pinellas County had me under the wrong track. They had me in a thing called district certification. Well, 2 years goes by, they find out, oh, hey, Ron, instead of 30 months, 36 months, you got 24 months or 12 months. You got a year to figure this out. So I was scrambling. All of a sudden, the state out of nowhere sends me a temporary certification that extends me to June of 2020. Long story short, they're telling me that my teaching classes are no good now. No matter what I accomplished by June 2020, they didn't acknowledge any errors on their part as far as putting me in the wrong track. And I have nobody to back me up. I went to a charter school last year, and now the county is totally disconnected from me. There's no accountability there. Should I at least throw something up and just see if anybody would help me out?
Yeah, I would probably get an employment attorney to look at the issue, and if they think it's appropriate to write a letter on your behalf, and just pointing out the wrongs that you think were done, and let an attorney write a letter on your behalf, and that does employment law. That's.
I think the bad news for me is I'm technically I'm still working. This thing's going to expire, and you know, like the June 2020 was given an extension till December 2020. I'm still working, so I don't think an attorney's going to want to talk to me while I still have a job. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Well, you want to go beyond December 2020, though, so I don't know why they wouldn't write a letter to have the school board try to work with you to continue your employment. You know, it doesn't have to be a threatening letter first. It can be a let's work this out type of letter.
But just go employ lawyers and see if anybody would hear me out.
Yeah, just you can, if you want to call me, I'll tell you a couple of ways so you can maybe find an employment attorney.
Please.
All right. Just call, I'll give out my contact information right after you hang up here for everyone. So.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to call the show, by the way, we have open lines right now. We're about halfway through the show, so why wait? If you have a legal question, I can help you, give you a little peace of mind. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to contact our office, we have multiple offices around Florida. We have two offices in Pinellas, two in Hillsborough, two in Polk. We have offices in Trinity and Pasco. We have two in Pasco, actually. We have offices in Davenport is one of the Polk and Lakeland, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices from Daytona up through Jacksonville. I go to Jacksonville on a regular basis in that area to see clients. If you'd like to contact our office, you have a toll-free number, which is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, you can call our office or you can email me. The call number again, the office call number for the poster sheet is 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Let's go to George in Jacksonville. Hey, George.
Hello. Listen, I have a question about the possibility. We're considering purchasing a home in out of state in North Carolina, a second home. Is there any advantage to having, one, have my wife own that home and then me owning our home here so that each would have a homestead?
No, most states are not going to let you have two. You have to have a primary residence, and that's your homestead.
Right, but there's two people.
You, a married couple has one homestead.
Okay, well, I didn't.
Yeah, so it's a primary residence. And now, if you're separated, don't live together, there might be a way to orchestrate in having two, if you can prove it through some method of proving it and justify it. But if you're married and you live together and you most of the time it's in Florida, you go to the second home once in a while and you're always together, I think it'd be inappropriate to have two homesteads.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, phone lines are open again at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Hey, phone lines are open. If I say something like that previous, that answer I just gave, and you're out there and you disagree with that answer, maybe you're a married couple that do have two homesteads, or you're an attorney, or you're some other professional that would disagree with that answer. Hey, I always like help and different ideas and different thoughts. Never offended if someone doesn't quite agree with my answer. On the other hand, if I don't know an answer, if I totally don't know an answer, like I don't do immigration law, for example, I'm first to confess I don't know the answer, but I can help find an attorney. So our producer wants to ask me a question. Well, what's the definition? What's the definition of? Well, hopefully if your place gets torched or burned, you have insurance, number one. Number two, you probably should report it to the police if you know the people who did it, for example, or just report it anyway to be able to make a claim on the insurance company. To me, it's kind of sad that the police aren't following up. I mean, you know, I was listening to a radio on the way in this morning, and in New York City, for example, doesn't hold any. They release, if you're arrested for protesting some minor, in a minor way, so I can kind of understand that. But in New York, I mean, if you burn a police car or throw water on a policeman or abuse someone, for a lot of times they just turn their head. That just seems totally wrong to me. But, yeah, you would report it to the police. I would report it anyway. You file an insurance claim. If someone has actually done a crime on you, you need to report that. And then you need to be like a bulldog about getting it enforced and see if you can protest your own way that they aren't handling the crimes in an appropriate way to the police department. Talk to your city council, your congressman, and all that, and just make an issue of it yourself. You can be a loud protester yourself for what's right as opposed to when you're wrong. Hey, let's wronged, not wrong. Let's go to Fred in Jacksonville.
Good morning. I have a little question. It's basically about real estate. Actually, it's not really. But anyway, let me tell you. I have a property, and I have a neighbor next door to me, and I have a small fence. Actually, it's a divider line between my property and my neighbor's property. And my neighbor is asking me if it's okay if he can extend the height of my little fence that is between his property and my property. And I was trying to find out, is there anything I should consider if I say yes? It's a cinder block fence. It's about in the ground now. It's about one quart of cinder block already in the ground. And my neighbor wants to raise the fence up to about 4 feet. Partially, not the whole length of the property line, but just a certain section there, because he has a situation where his property water drains onto my property, and I brought that to his attention, so he's calling himself trying to cure the problem.
How does raising the fence help with a water problem?
Well, it keeps the water from draining from his property onto my property. When it rains real bad, or we get real bad weather. It's a new property he's building. He said that the county, which where we live, forced him to raise the elevation of his property 18 inches above mine and the other neighbors in the neighborhood. So he's actually, we're getting his runoff. So I'm kind of curious about that. Why would they force him to raise his property before he built his house? But now we have a situation where his property is actually higher than everybody else's on both sides, on either side. And I'm getting his runoff when it, you know, we get some pretty bad weather. So I don't want that runoff. So this wall is supposed to, I guess, divert.
Well, if you don't want it, just say no.
Well, I'm not going to really. I don't want to be a butthole. I was trying to work with the guy, but what I was trying to find out is, you know, is there any liability? Because now this is my fence. So is there anything he's going to put something on top? How do we say, well, you know, something comes up and he decides, you know, take it down or whatever?
Well, no, it's on your property. He can improve your property at his cost with your permission.
Okay.
If that's the question. But you don't have to grant you don't have to grant permission, and then he has no right to tear it down once it's on your property.
Yeah. So if it comes to that point, you know, for an example, if we, you know, he decides to say, hey, get angry with me for something, you know, is there just something we should have in writing, or just the word of mouth should be sufficient?
He can improve your property. He can improve your property with your permission. And then he has no right to your property. I mean, it's yours. He doesn't reserve any right to it. If you make you feel better to have something in writing, yes, you can increase the law and you waive any rights to further construction of my property without my consent, something like that. That would be fine.
Mm-hmm. So I don't
know. Since you're a little worried about it, you know, I would just tell him no. That's not a legal answer. That's just my personal thought. You just, I don't know. I don't quite understand how rainwater would be affected by raising. How tall is the existing fence anyway? How tall is the concrete block fence on your property? How tall is that?
It's only one course, one cinder block course, and it runs front of my property. Yeah, and it was there when I built my house, and I'm glad it was, because what it does is it really separates, you know, my property line from his property line. And like I said, it's a new construction, and he just built his home, but for some reason, had he had the same elevation that I have and my neighbors have, we wouldn't have this issue. But I've never heard of a county, a building inspector insisting that he elevate his property.
Well, you can add, if you really want to question that, ask to see the county's, the county would do that in writing, not verbally. Ask to see the letter from the county in writing.
Okay.
But, okay, you really don't have a fence. You have a one-block-high line between the two properties.
Correct.
And during a really bad rainstorm, the water comes off of his property onto yours?
Exactly. And his house is already built. It's actually on the construction. His foundation is already there in the process of going up a second level, so it's too late to turn back. The damage is already there as far as the elevation is concerned. But, you're probably right. I need to find out, because he says that the county told him that he must elevate his property 18 inches above.
All right, so if he raised your concrete block, you know, by 4 or 5 more blocks, then then the water would be retained on his property?
Correct. His water will be on his property, and mine will stay with.
Yeah, so is that good or bad for you? Seems like
that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't need any additional water coming against my foundation on my house.
Well, then it sounds like if he built the block here, that would stop his water from coming on your property. So what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But what I was wondering is there any liability, or is there something I should have in writing saying that, you know, he's adding on to my fence and...
I have a simple agreement that you consent to him raising your wall, and he waives any further rights without your permission to do anything else on your property.
Oh, okay.
All right, Fred. Hope that helps.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, we have about 15 minutes or so left in the show. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673.
Question, Joe. Is there an official legal height for a fence on a house property?
I wouldn't call a one-block-high a fence, actually, but, you know. Well, there are city and county rules about fences, and there are homeowners association rules, and, you know, there could be rules about a height of a fence. But, you know, it's not a universal city or state or county rule. It's per ordinance or homeowners association rules and so forth.
Basically like what Derek Jeter went through when he bought his home because he wanted it tall enough so nobody really could see in, and he had to pay higher taxes?
I don't know about higher taxes. That might increase the value of the property more, and then there would be higher taxes, so... By the way, speaking of homeowners associations, by the way, phone lines are open. Love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you rather than me just talk. 877 is our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. So I had a call on the show, and It was a disgruntled homeowner who was mad at the homeowners association for not agreeing with or allowing a certain type of paint or making him change the paint on a driveway or house. I forget the exact circumstances. So we had this conversation, and then I had an email when I got home later that day from a president of the homeowner association. And the president of the homeowner association was had wrote a very nice email, very kind, said they were a listener for the show for a long time, really appreciated that, but wanted me to look at what that question and answer did from a different angle. And the angle was, well, the homeowners association is there to preserve the values of properties in the community. They try to fairly enforce the rules, and your caller was unhappy, but, you know, you seemed to take his side. That wasn't exactly said, but because we talked about condo police, and we talked about different things, and we talked about sometimes if you feel like your homeowners association is abusive. So I can see why she thinks that I maybe favored him in some way. But listen, I wrote her back and said, look, you know, thank you so much for sending me an email. Often when I'm getting a question, you know, I'm the advocate for the person who's asking the question. And I don't usually have time to go over both sides of the issue, you know, the good points of the other side. But I say, I'm totally support homeowners associations. And I if anything, I wish they would enforce rules more. You know, I would wish that they consistently enforced rules and enforced them more, because neighbors do things that downgrade communities quickly, and to have someone there watching to make sure everything is done according to the rules already in place is great. And I thank them again for making me aware of sometimes that maybe I should look at both sides of an issue when I'm discussing it, although I don't always do that. I'm usually the advocate for the person calling my show and what they can do. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. All right, let's go to Mary in Tampa. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. About the gentleman that just called about the fence, with written permission, anything that he does. I had a friend that had an issue like that in Georgia. Her daughter bought a property in Georgia, and there was a concrete driveway that is on their property. But the neighbor had said it was written a long time ago by their grandmother that they would be allowed to park there, and they can't find the paper, so they need that piece of paper that gives that permission. So I just wanted to say, keep everything where you give permission for anything. I don't know, it might be a good idea to just get it certified or something, or record it, because they're looking for it, because it's an issue for them, because it's on the new owner's property.
All right, good advice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Denise in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe. I listen to you every weekend. I'm calling about a water problem that your previous caller called in about.
Okay.
He needs to check the county, because he can be fined. His neighbor can be fined if all the water runoff from his property is going to neighboring properties. I'm dealing with that myself.
Okay.
And a brick, it's a concrete wall.
Well, it's a concrete block. There was one block high. If you call that a fence. Yeah, okay.
But if it's not deep enough in the ground, if his neighbor was told by the county, which I don't believe, he has to raise his elevation, what did he say, 18 inches? That block is not going to last. It's got to be deeper in the ground.
Yeah, it's probably not supported with concrete either. I mean, it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So his neighbor. If I were that guy, I'd check with the county, because what the guy really needs to do is put an irrigation system in so it goes out to the street. My property happens to be higher than my neighbor's, mm-hmm. and I've had to do the same thing, because you cannot let water run off onto other neighboring properties, not in my county anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, good advice. Thank you
so much.
Thought
I'd add that.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
All bye. Right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Let's go to let's give out the numbers. We might tell Bill to add one or two more calls here at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Fred in Palm Harbor. Hey, Fred.
Good morning, Joe. How are you this morning?
Super well, thank you.
Great. Situation here, we live in a villa, and it's the responsibility of the homeowners association to paint the houses every 4 or 5 years. And in doing so, they spray painted the soffits, which are there to ventilate the roof, and they got all plugged up with latex paint. So because of that, there's no ventilation going up through to the ridge vent. So I've written to them. They came out and looked. And 2 months ago, they actually had a board meeting and said, no, they're not going to do anything about it. It's a $1,200 replacement of the soffits. And they never notified me, so I sent another letter and said, oh, yeah, they made that decision. I said, look, I think we need to address this again. They wrote back and said, well, the fact that, and the house was just painted, by the way, 4 months ago. And that's when we discovered that the soffits were blocked. And they said, well, the fact that it may have been like that when you bought the home, we're only here a year, it's not our responsibility.
Well, so, are they saying it's your responsibility?
They say that it's my bad luck. Yeah, my responsibility. Although they caused the
damage.
Are
they giving you permission to fix it?
Oh, they would. It's a 12, yeah, but I don't see where I should be paying it, the fact that they caused the damage to it.
And what harm is it causing you?
There's absolutely no ventilation going up through the roof. And that, you know, that's essential to prevent not only get the heat out of the attic, but to protect the roof. It's a brand new roof as well.
And before they painted it, that was not an issue. It was clear.
I really don't know. It's possible that because it's been painted every 4 years, the community is probably 25 years old.
So they're saying you bought it that way because it's already been painted that way, and you have no
apparently.
Proof. You have no proof.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. They could maybe take it to court if you wanted to spend the time and money, but I don't know what the outcome would be. I mean, it depends on whatever proof is in the witnesses. You know, maybe ask a couple of neighbors if it's always been like that.
But it's
going to depend upon proof and witnesses if you took it to court, if you wanted to spend time and effort to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a toss-up. Maybe, you know, as you got more evidence, you might be able to weigh which side would win. But, you know, you and I talking on radio, I'm not going to be able to even have an opinion about who would win that one.
Right.
All right.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
So all right. Let's go to Eric and Amelia Island. Hey, Eric.
Yes. I've been named the executor of my father's living trust, and he recently passed away, and he owns a piece of property here in Amelia Island that is currently under construction. The construction is nearly finished, and I was wondering if it's possible for me to sell the home with him having just passed away as the executor without it going to
probate. Well, it's called in a trust. You said trust, right?
Yes.
And you're the successor trustee, it's called, in a trust.
Yes.
And the property was titled in the name of the trust.
The property is not listed in the trust.
Oh, I see. Okay, well then, when you have a living trust, you have what's called a pour-over will, where you are named the personal representative. That's also the same word for executor. And the will most likely leaves everything that's not in the trust to the trust, but things like that are not in the trust have to be probated to get to the trust. So the answer to your question is, can you sell it now? No, you need a probate attorney to help open the probate estate before you can sell it.
Okay. Do you know, is there like a rough time frame how long it would take a probate attorney to do that?
Well, what's the value of the property?
It probably has a retail value of about $650,000. There is a mortgage on it, a construction loan of $270,000.
Well, you know, we do probate in our office, and we do have offices in Jacksonville area. So okay. The answer to the question would be you could probably be appointed the personal representative of the estate and have the power to sell it within, say, 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks, okay. That's not bad. All right, and I should just contact one of your offices in Jacksonville then.
Yeah, I'll give you the toll-free number, which is
1-800-226. 226.
3529. And I'll be there this coming Friday, just for your information.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Let's try to get one more caller in, and let's go to John and Osprey. Hey, John.
Yeah. Hi, Joe. I spoke with you last week about that, about a $6,000 lien on my property that was in violation of the Eighth Amendment. The Supreme Court had ruled 9-0 about basically cruel and unusual punishment for minor infractions. And it's hanging up the refi in my house. And you're going to give me a name of a real estate attorney I could speak with. I guess you've been pretty busy. I left a couple messages.
Call my office because we have a real estate attorney there, and his name is Jim.
Jim.
Uh-huh. So it's 727-586-3306. Extension 116.
That was 877, was it?
727.
727.
586-3306.
Jim.
Uh-huh. 3306.
3306.
And extension 116.
116. Okay. 116.
All right.
I sure appreciate it, Joe.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, longest-running radio program, continual radio program, same host, same format in Florida. It may be beyond Florida, too, as well. Not too many people have had a continual radio show, same host, same format, for 36 years, so I'm glad to can be able to continue to do this as well. You can listen every Saturday morning during this same time, and you can call in with your legal questions. Why worry about something, continue to worry about it without knowing the answer? We can just call Ask an Attorney. If we don't know, we can point you in the right direction to maybe to find out. If you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large double-sided poster sheet on estate planning. One side has like 5 articles on estate planning, and charts and diagrams and all kind of useful information. The other set has all of our contact information. If you'd like that, you can get it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to text me your name and address, it's 727-667-3967. If you want to email me about joining us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or one of the social media things that we do, please just email me again at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Hey, you be safe. Be back next week the same time. So long.